with the fabulous and beautiful curly-haired Barbara Robbins on Wednesday, May 30th, 2012. So what I was saying is that the journey that you have been on is one that so many people are on right now, and that is that we feel like we're stuck and we don't recognize that what it is that we're in transition, because it's a very subtle transition. What we're going through is a time where it feels like maybe nothing is happening and we need to be doing things, and the usual response is to raise ourselves in terms of our franticness, our panicness, our fears, our self-judgments. We're not doing enough. Why is this not happening? What's wrong with me, etc.? When really what it means is that we are in a position of a time of very subtle transition. And we don't recognize it as such, because we think transition has to be big and booming, when it's really very small and very subtle. And what's required is to be okay with things not happening, and to be able to sit and be at peace with that, and wait until what needs to be done is revealed to us. Not that we're going to slough off, or, you know, it's not being lazy. It has to be done with mindfulness and with care and concern and support towards ourselves. Another piece of that was that with the current financial stresses that people are undergoing, the usual ways of diverting ourselves are not available to us, because we don't have the money to go out and eat, go to a movie, go to a play, you know, just do the arbitrary things. So when those things are taken away, ultimately what it does is strip us away to the point that we are alone with ourselves and who we are, which is, of course, in this culture, one of the last places that we are encouraged to go, which can be part of why we feel like we have to be doing more, when actually what we need to be doing is less, but more important. And to allow ourselves to sit with the discomfort and let the energy come through us without judgment, without fear, just let it be, and trust that the proper answer will be revealed to us in right timing. So, having said that, what are your thoughts about that? Or how would you like to proceed? I don't want to steer this, I want to support you.
What you just said is exactly what I've been going through. I had this miracle happen in May where I discovered that I can paint. And like, oh my God, I can paint. And like people liked my painting. I liked my painting. It's like it's a real painting. And then I started having these paintings. They come into, I could see them in my head, and I was starting to draw, to paint them, or, you know, the painting would speak to me and say, you need to put a red dot over here. So I was having this really active relationship with the painting, and I did like three paintings and had, you know, two in the works. And then all of a sudden it stopped, and the room that I paint in, you know, I would walk past it every day, multiple times. Every once in a while, the room would like call to me, come paint now. And so I would go, and then it would say, put a red dot here, you know, that kind of thing. And then for like the last 2+ weeks, nothing. It's like, hello. And like, no, we've left the building. And, but at the same time that I was doing these paintings, it's been coming to me to do these kind of line drawings as energy healing charts, and the ones that I've made are just really, really powerful, and my students have said, you know, oh, this is amazing, and so I was rocking and rolling with that. I made like five of those, mm-hmm. and then that stopped too. But then the other day, I was talking with someone, and we were working on some like physical symptom that one of us was having, and all of a sudden I started to see with my third eye the beginning of one of my line drawing charts. Like, oh yes, great, okay. So I got a piece of paper, And I started drawing what I was seeing in my head and made a chart, and boom, the pain went away. So I'm like, okay, it hasn't completely left the building. There was just nothing, they had nothing to say to me until right now. And so it reinforces to me about just sitting and actively waiting and watching and listening for when the information does come. Because they haven't cut off the water, so the water's still on. It just, I haven't been given the direction to go turn the water on.
Or the key to turn it on by yourself. You have to wait until it's done for you. It's like there, oh, especially yeah. when it comes to Anne's inspiration. It can't be forced. It's right. God's time, not ours. And we can make ourselves ready. We can ask. We can be available. I mean, my time for creative coming up with the insights, the little flashes, that's at night. That's not the writing that I do during the day. That's at night. That's late. That's usually when I'm just about to fall asleep and I get a good idea and it's like, am I going to fall asleep and forget it, or am I going to reach up and wake myself up just enough to be able to write it and then deal with falling asleep all over again? And I've trained myself that if I don't do the latter, I regret it if I do the former. But I can't force it. I can't say, okay, I'd really like an insight on this play that I stopped writing 13 years ago and that is going to break a logjam in the storyline. But sometimes, magically, that's what appears. I have no idea why that at that time. I don't question. I just write it down. You know, it's God's ventriloquist act, and I get to be the dummy. So if something wants to channel through, and to trust that whatever it is will be useful in some way at some time, but not to beat myself up if it's one of those nights where nothing comes.
I noticed that I hadn't gotten a newsletter out to my list for 5 months. And I knew it was time to get a newsletter out. There were a whole bunch of new things that I've been working on that I wanted to share with them, some changes. I always like to write an inspirational tidbit, too. Not just say, we have new things for sale. Don't you want to buy stuff from me? I don't want to do that. I want to offer some wonderfulness. Mm-hmm.
That's why people open your newsletter and read it.
and finally, I figured out what I wanted to write it on. It's my life is a painting. Because I realized that the painting that I've been doing is a microcosm of my life, because I paint the same way that I do everything else, like sitting and waiting until I hear, go put a red dot over there, you know, like go write a newsletter article, go I don't know, whatever, go write this down that you're what you're doing right now, this process, because you're going to need it for later. So I don't know what I'm doing when I'm painting. I'm just hearing and feeling, and my hand just does sort of what it wants to do. When I think I'm going to draw a straight line, you know, a reasonably straight line, my hand just goes kaflooey way over in another direction. It's like, all right. And because the painting really didn't matter to me, because I'm just doing this more like therapeutically. But then when the paintings turned out good, people like them, it's like, oh my God, I don't know what I was doing. But it worked out, and I realized that if I'm painting in the same way that I live my life, and the paintings turn out good, then my life is probably turning out good too. I just don't see it now because life takes a lot longer to do than the paintings.
So if you were to extrapolate a lesson out of that we might be able to incorporate in our lives for guidance, for whatever, what might that be?
To not worry. To just not worry whether you're doing something right or you're doing something wrong, because it's going to work out. If you've gotten to this place in your life, and things are working out. I know that's very general, because somebody could feel that their life totally sucks right now, and that they're maybe in the hospital, paraplegic. You know, like, how is that my life working out?
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a Bible verse that says, all things shall work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And that's all of us. So if everything is working together for the good, then no matter what's happening in our life, whether it seems good or otherwise, it is working out for the good. And to sit and worry about it isn't going to change anything, and it's certainly not going to give us insight.
I just have a proviso to add to that. It's working out as long as we don't fight it or judge it or deny it.
Yes.
But we allow it to be to work whatever it's meant to work within our lives. It's when we put up the resistance that things start getting all snarled and bollocksed up. Whereas if we just kind of go, all right, I accept. I may not seem to like it, but I'm just going to trust that this is a necessary step along the pathway. And I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to do what I need to keep my balance, to keep myself upright in this. But I'm not going to beat myself up over it. And I accept. And that's the first step toward, in my way of thinking, mm-hmm. towards being able to move towards this point where you gain the benefits of having done that, as opposed to putting up the fight and trying to turn it into something that it's not and it doesn't want to be.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of fighting with myself and my life for maybe 3 weeks now. And I should be working now. I should be productive. I'm finished with school right now. It's time to rock and roll and, you know, do all the stuff that I've learned and put it into practice. And it's been nothing but just sit and go play in the yard. And I've realized that I'm being given a special gift to be in kind of my birthday celebration mode for maybe over a month, rather than just have it be for a few days. And I finally got it the other day. And if I was still fighting, then I would miss the whole celebration.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized that the universe was saying to me, we want you to relax right now and enjoy this time. I'm turning 60. And I found out I think it's in Jewish numerology, or it's from the 72 names of God. They, number 60 means freedom. 60, freedom. Oh my God. And here I am. I have a month of birthday celebration that represents freedom. And what was I doing? I was taking myself back to Egypt and began. Put me into slavery.
We can be our own worst enemies. We can enslave ourselves to the expectation of what we're supposed to be, as opposed to simply accepting who and what we are. This, for whatever flaws there might be in the visual design of it, which of course is why we're sitting here and why you're bringing this up, and it makes perfect sense, and I'm sure the rest will too, or at least a certain portion of them, is that there are no accidents, because we're meant to get it right. And if it's not happening, it's not right.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means there's a better place to get it to. So I'm sure that in this period of time, you're not sitting around and watching soap operas on TV and eating bonbons and going, da-da, da-da, da-da. I'm sure that there's some aspect of it that might look like meditation or gardening or cleaning or being with friends and family.
You know, that's really interesting, because in the other day, in this time of, well, I'm still, what am I supposed to be doing? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. you know, fighting with myself, I didn't know what to do, and I decided to watch TV. And I turned on the TV, and the movie Mean Girls was on. And I was enjoying watching it. And while I'm watching it, I'm thinking, why am I watching this? Oh, my God. This is a work day, and I'm sitting here, and I'm watching a teenager movie about Mean Girls. Like, this isn't, what's the word? It's not positive. It's not giving me anything to help me to grow and become more enlightened or anything. It's just a silly movie. And, and that morning, there was something that I was working, doing energy healing with somebody, and, she had told, we were working on each other, and she had told me that what was coming up were limitations. So while I'm watching Mean Girls, I'm in the background, I'm working on clearing limitations for myself. And I wasn't even sure what to do, so it was, watching Mean Girls was kind of a distraction so I could work on myself sort of behind the scenes. And then I completely forgot about working on myself. And at the very end of the movie, there was a math competition, and it was like sudden death overtime. And the question, there was a very complex formula, and they had to come up with the right answer of what the limiter is. And the first girl's answer, she got it, and she says, it's minus one. And the guy, the moderator, said, no, that's incorrect. And he looks at the other girl and says, do you have the answer? And just, you know, quick, she goes into her brain, and she's trying to remember. And finally, she figures it out, and she looks at him, and she says, there is no limit. And as soon as she said that, everything released for me. And I went, there is no limit. And then I understood why I was watching Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can be steered through our, you know, through our instincts, through that little subliminal pulse of God, spirit, life, spark, universe, higher power, whatever, however you care to refer to it, to be places and do things that we had not a clue would be happening. If we had not, we can say it's by accident. I don't believe it is an accident. I believe that energetically, the more we are open to the potential that is around us at all times, the more we will have within our life that genuinely fulfills us, which may not be what we think and have been programmed into thinking will fulfill us. And that's part of the discovery as well. And that's why hitting the pause button on judgment and self-judgment is important. If you judge, this is stupid, I shouldn't be watching this movie, I should be working, you would have turned off the TV, sat down at your computer, been miserable, and not learned an important lesson that was coming to you in the oddest place possible.
And not accomplished anything either.
That's right. It wouldn't have gotten any better. So this then became a little landmark in your process, to be open to possibilities that lurk where we do not even think there are possibilities. Because it's all around us, but we've created our own limiters to filter into what we expect something to be, as opposed to letting it be what it is and being amazed with wonderment at what unfolds. What you are going to create out of this experience you're going through, which is so common to so many people, is the Dr. Seuss story. And the most profound one that's out there, as far as I'm concerned, is a very obscure story called The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins. And I don't need to go into all the beats of it, but it's like the Middle Ages, and there's a young boy named Bartholomew Cubbins, and the king is going through town on market day, and everybody has to bow and take their hat off their head. So he's got this little triangular green hat, and he takes the hat off his hat, and he bows to the king. And all of a sudden, the procession stops, and the king and the prime minister or the king jumps out and goes, you got to take your hat off in front of the king. And Bartholomew looks at the hat in his hand, and he goes, my hat's on, you know, I took my hat off. They went, well, what's on your head? And there was another hat on his head. He goes, oh, so he reaches up and he takes that off, but there's another hat on his head. He can't get it off. Well, long story short,
he's got to take off his hat or they're going to cut his head off. So he's frantically taking off his hats, and they're all identical, taking off one after another. And he get and they take him in, and they put him on trial, and they find him guilty, and it's like, we're going to cut your head off. Meanwhile, he's like counting, you know, 100, 200, 300. When he gets to hat number 400, it's, you know, the green triangular hat. But when he takes that one off, 401, it's got a little bit of red trim on it. And then he takes that one off from 402, it's got a little red feather. And then the next one is two red feathers. And then the next one is one red feather, but with the two red feathers, but with the trim. And they keep on getting more elaborate. Meanwhile, they're going, I'm sorry. So they start taking him to the place where they're going to be cutting off his head. And the king has to go there, and the headman and prime minister and everybody like that. And as he's climbing up the stairs in this tower, he's been taking off hats as fast as he can. And all of a sudden, he's getting 489. And these, at this point, it's like, it's made out of brocade. It's like this turban with brocade flowing down his back and peacock feathers sticking out and jewels and gold. And it's just dripping with stuff. And he pulls that one off. And 490 is even more elaborate than that one. He's trudging up the steps with these huge hats. But they're still going to cut off his head because that's the law. He's got. So he gets to the top, and he's got 499 on his head, and he's just about to put his head down, and he pulls off the hat, and there's this gigantic brocaded turban, gold, jewel, entrusted, dripping feather, elaborate thing on his head. And as he puts his head down on the block to have it chopped down, the king looks and goes, wait a minute, stop! That's the most incredible hat I've ever seen. Could I have that? And Bartholomew goes, sure. And he lifts it off his head, hands it over to the king, and there's nothing on his head. That's the metaphor. That's what we're all going towards and striving for, the creation of the 500th hat. And we don't get to that level of achievement without going the full distance. And sometimes it feels like we're plodding, and sometimes it feels like we'll never get there, and we keep going and we want it to be something that it isn't, or it is something and we want something else. Whatever it takes, by continuing on that path and simply striving to do our best and to follow that inner voice, we can get to the point where we create the 500th hat. And that's when people reach out and say, oh, I think I'd like that.
That is so incredible. I've read that story and never understood it like you just shared with me. Thank you so much. And it makes me realize that every day that I get up and I say, today I'm going to do something different, and I look in the mirror in a sense, and there's the same little triangular green hat on. It's like, oh no, it's another day just like the day before. But it's just, that's the process to go through. I still have those little green triangular hats to take off.
Oh, you've got some feathers and some jewels, well, and some trim. I see a bit of brocade there. You can't fool me.
Shh, don't tell anybody. but it's, you know, that's helping me to realize that whatever it is that I go through on that day, that's just, it's another hat that I'm pulling off. And maybe it doesn't look like the hat that I'm even expecting it to look like, but it's part of the process. That's so encouraging. Thank you.
My pleasure.